jingle, jingle all the way.
Bells.
Oh.
It's the Christmas podcast.
So that, baby, was Jingle Bells. Welcome to the Christmas special.
In a way, we've had other Christmas specials.
In a way, we're really into Christmas at the moment.
We really are.
Because it's December. This one is How to Survive Christmas. So this is the big one. And then after this, we promise there's no more Christmas.
Yeah, yeah.
Never again.
Never again. That's the end.
The White Witch is coming for you all.
Tessa, do you like Christmas?
Yes, I do. I used to absolutely love Christmas, like really love Christmas. And then in the last couple of years, as a grown-up, I have found it a bit difficult. There's no snow. There's no sort of like magic. And we have been doing it at my grandma's with all my maternal side of the family. And we've run out of children. So
it's a lot of adults sat in a room well, here we are again.
Here we are again. And so unfortunately, the youngest now is now like 14 or something. Oh. And so not old enough for me to finally get out my drinking games.
Yes.
But not young enough to in any way be part of the magic.
That's tricky.
So it's therefore, it's a bit like, what's this for? Mm. And everyone's a bit...
Jesus.
Jesus. So we're not a particularly religious family.
Oh,
and by particularly,
no.
I mean at all, because it had never even crossed my mind that it's for Jesus.
What do you think you were doing in that nativity?
I remember once when my sister was so small, my sister must have been 5, and she asked my dad if Father Christmas was real. He really was sort of prepped for it, and he was like, well, that's up to you. That's what Christmas is all about, believing in Father Christmas, to which my sister, age 5, said, and Jesus. And they still look on my dad's face like, yes. Like, yes, I've smashed this.
That is what it's about.
Yes.
If parenting.
Yeah.
So like, good, Tom.
You're well done, Tom. So yeah, we're not at all religious. Okay. We go to Christmas carols and we go in the village because it's nice.
Yeah, I imagine that your village is lovely.
We take that seriously. Yeah, people love the Christmas do.
Our town's very sad.
Though increasingly, people keep bringing children into the service, like babies.
Oh,
and then they put them
babies
at the back and they give them like Tonka toys and they smash them on the cobbles.
That's
and everyone's
not Christmas.
Like, come on, guys. Stop this.
Jesus wouldn't have done that.
Jesus was such a well-behaved babe.
Such a babe.
So we're not very religious, so therefore it's not at all about that. And then it's all about the rest of the stuff. We feel very much like going through the motions. So it's felt a bit stressful in the last couple of years. Do you love Christmas?
I do, yeah. And I think in our immediate family, me, my sister, mum, my dad, occasionally my sister's boyfriend, Jordan, we kind of are all at a good age where we can just get really drunk.
Yeah.
Often we don't get really drunk, but there isn't often like a nice just constant top-up of eggnog situation.
Fantastic.
And everyone gets a bit giddy because we never really see each other because
yeah,
we maybe go home like 3 times a year. And that's kind of changing now, which is good, but there was a period of time, like uni and all the way through uni and then through my 20s.
Yes, it felt very exciting to come home for Christmas. That's
so exciting.
That's a big part of it as well, I think, is like now you probably go home quite a bit.
I actually still don't.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I'm really bad and I'm often quite busy. I've got a lot on. No, no.
No, it's hard to go home all the time.
I do, but my dad works away. That's what it is. So it's often one of 2 or 3 times in the year where we're all together in the family home. And I think that often, like, my mum will come to London and visit, or like my mum and dad will like come up to London and visit, but we're still not in the family home. And they're like, I'll go home and then mum's there and she's not. Like, you just, it's like a time that we're all, it's a concentrated fun. And we have like all those traditions that we play the Frank Sinatra and Bing Crosby album. All for like the entire
I didn't think the word album was coming. I thought it was going to be game, and I was going to be like, "What is
what
the Frank Sinatra and Bing Crosby game?"
No, sadly, it's Pictionary, which everyone understands. But and we just basically like very intentionally.
Do you play as teams in Pictionary?
Yes, there is. Yes, you're in teams of two, and you have one. You take turns. One draws. One like shouts at the other person that the drawing isn't good.
Right. Yeah. Pictionary,
and then everyone tries to cheat.
Yeah, the it is that sort of thing of like everyone really has to be drinking the Kool-Aid. Our new expression.
Everyone is drinking the Kool-Aid.
You'd really have to just get on board of being like, this is, because it is just a nonsense day. Like
it's
stupid,
but it's a lovely excuse.
What a lovely
for people
nonsense.
To see each other.
Yeah, exactly.
You would literally be like, I've not seen it's an excuse to see your grandparents, it's an excuse to see your auntie.
Yeah, but we do
have
to, like, because obviously it's about magic. Like we literally have to all commit here to what's happening.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think if anyone wavers from that commitment, in many ways, literally playing a game at Christmas where anybody starts being like, chatting or being like, well, stupid, why are we playing this? It only takes one person in a room of however many big to not want to be in, and then it's ruined.
Yeah, and then it's ruined, yeah.
Because now we're all seeing it through their eyes, which is like, yeah, why are we doing this?
Why are we doing anything? Why does anyone do anything?
What's the point? Yeah, you just all got to be like, we're in,
very
we're getting
much like everything. If I know a couple of people who have very sad Christmases because, you know, their parents are divorced or they've lost a parent, mm-hmm. and it's really hard. And I think when I've spoken to them about Christmas just in general, they've always said that it's about the perspective. So if they wanted to have a sad Christmas, they absolutely could. Mm-hmm. They could have a sad Christmas, they could watch TV, not talk to each other, cry a lot, get very drunk. Instead, they go into it almost like into battle, being like, right, we're going to have fun because that's what that person would have wanted.
Yeah.
Even if they haven't lost someone and it's just not a nice Christmas, like it's not a nice family situation, you just have to find ways to really get through it and see and kind of change your perspective as much as you can, because I think it's something that's weird that it's fully unavoidable. It doesn't matter if you decide not to go home for Christmas because you don't like being at home, you'll then be sat on your own at Christmas.
Yeah, so it's unavoidable. You can't pretend it's not.
No, so you might as well find somewhere that's kind of bearable and just really go all guns blazing, because that's the only option.
Yeah, this thing, because we called this podcast How to Survive Christmas, and whatever that particular survival might mean to you, I think will be very different for everyone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it will be a case of survival.
Yeah.
So it might be a case of like, how am I going to survive cooking for 20 people? How am I going to survive these presents? How am I going to survive my first Christmas without this person? How am I going to survive try and do 8 Christmases on one day with all my different family, whatever? Like, it will be a survival thing, however personal
it is. Yeah, and
often
you sometimes remember past Christmases. Yeah. That's the hard thing. You often will like measure. So I remember when like I got broken up with, and I thought about what it was like last Christmas, and last Christmas we just started going out, you know? Mm. And you're like, oh no, the change between this Christmas and that Christmas.
Yeah, yeah, horrible.
Because you kind of measure your life in Christmases sometimes.
And sometimes.
Sometimes say you do that. But you have to kind of not, and you have to take each Christmas as in of itself. Sorry, the adult section of the podcast come a little bit later, but what adult thing have you done? So we can get out of the way and get into Christmas.
I'm going to go second, because I'm going to segue immediately from my point into my Christmas thing.
Good God.
Yeah, I know.
That's great. Okay, mine's boring, as it always is.
No.
I've got rid of, like, literally half of my clothes.
Oh, fantastic.
I have never...
Have you Marie Kondo'd?
Basically, I didn't say thank you to any of them.
Yeah. Fuck you.
But yeah, I did the opposite. But then I gave them to, like, an array of charity shops. I felt so good, and I literally couldn't tell you what was in those bags. So what the hell was I doing with them?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, I had like 20 pairs of black jeans. So one of them's gone. No, I've got rid of quite a few of them. And I got
that thing about
the
bags is like, I found a bag under the sofa that obviously was like...
stuff, charity shop
stuff. Yeah, was either charity shop stuff or I was just tidying my room quickly and was like, put that in the living room for a second and I'll start again. And I was looked at it and I was like, if you can't name anything in there, it all has to go.
If you can't name it, it doesn't go on your body.
That's what we say. That's
about
what we say.
Men, am I right?
Yes.
Two old aunties.
Pop on, quickly. My adult thing is that I went to a hen do this weekend and had the time of my life.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, Laura, for her hen do. And hello. They actually all do.
Did they?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I found them. I found the people that listen. There were people I didn't know on the hen do who listened.
Oh, my God.
Who had been. So, hello to everybody. And well done to the amazing organisers of it. It was such a great do. And.
What was the theme?
It was Harry Potter.
Yes!
It was a Harry Potter theme. And maybe we'll do another podcast where we just talk about
that hen do. Yeah, there's so much good stuff.
There's a lot of good stuff to discuss, but not here, not now. Come around my house for tea and we'll talk about it. But my adult thing was that two parts. One is that I got my sort of weedy suitcase out from under my bed. Which you'll all recall, I had to buy that time in Edinburgh when they wouldn't let me on the plane because of my bag of damp clothes. So, yeah. My Tesco's bag of damp clothes.
That was your adult thing.
They wouldn't let me on, so I had to buy the suitcase. Here it comes around again, my lovely little wheelie suitcase that looks so professional. And because it's just a normal grown up thing.
It's a normal suitcase.
Yeah, normal. And I don't have anything that is not also another thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, here's my normal suitcase. And then in the sort of little topper thing, I opened it and I'd already packed a. Toiletries bag and like all my overnight stuff. There was a travel adapter in it.
Ah,
there was
my jaw is like
it was like somebody in another life had done it for me, that I'd obviously been like, oh, this is a great little zip up thing, I should just keep my toiletries in there permanently. And they were all travel size things, just in there already.
Past Tessa.
And I literally was like, it was fantastic. And then my other thing is that on the hen do, we played that game. And this is to say, prep for this for Christmas, which is what I have started doing in my free time alone, because I'm terrified someone's going to suggest this game.
Okay.
It's that game. I've only ever played it once before in my life, where some idiot gets out a cereal box.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I played that a lot. I broke my arse doing
I've
that.
I've ripped my hamstring.
You basically have a cereal box and you have to pick it up with your mouth, but you can't, like, touch the floor. You can't use your hands.
Your feet are on the floor. You're not levitating.
No, well, obviously not. Every time you go around in, like, a circle, everyone tries it. If everyone does it well, great. If you can't even do that, then you're out and you should probably go to a doctor. Then you rip off
a layer. No, don't listen to her. You're doing so well.
I was obviously going to do it the first time. You rip a layer off the cover box. The cover box
is shorter.
So it
goes down by about like an inch or so.
And then suddenly, our friend Claudia is amazing at it. Then suddenly it's literally just the bit at the bottom, like the bottom bit of it, flat to the floor. And there's always one person that can do it. And you're sort of like trying to, like, it's incredible. It's also really upsetting if you're not flexible.
Yeah, it's the worst, because when you, much like watching the Olympics or something, when you watch somebody do it, you sort of like, yeah, I can do that.
That's fine. And then you try and it's so
hard. This is why I think there should be a section of the Olympics called Average Man, in which we see all the competitors, and then we see, like, just as someone having a go, and we just see, we can really comprehend how tricky it is what they've just done.
That's really
because
funny.
When it's impressive, you're like, yeah,
hammer throw. You're like, he was just throwing
just
something.
Average
up
man
and throw.
Trying to hammer throw. Average man, I think, is such a crucial point of the Olympics. Anyway, and then you see people do it, and you're like, yeah, because it looks.
You bend over and pick the cereal box up.
And then you try it and you're like, why
is
my body stopped 4 foot away from the box? Yeah. And also, because it's like a stupid group and everyone's chanting you
can't
prep when you get in there. You can't have a go. You have to commit to whatever thing you've tried out, whatever technique you've gone for. Anyway, idiot over here tried to do the splits, like a box split. Not fully down. I just thought I could just go down like that, bend down, lost my footing in my tights on the wooden floor. Both legs akimbo. Had to be dragged out of the circle. And then, because imagine you practice for years and then finally your moment comes. And then you lose. You're out immediately.
Right, back into Christmas.
That is Christmas.
It is Christmas.
Someone's going to suggest a cereal box at Christmas.
Great tip. Other tips.
Yes.
You have Christmas shopping.
Yes.
Now, I believe that you spoke to an expert, Tessa, not on shopping, but on Christmas. Not on Christmas, but on stress. Did you make an app?
He certainly did. This is from a guy called Niels, I want to say Eek, and I'm so sorry if I pronounced his name incorrectly. It's not to you, Stevie.
No.
I'm sorry to Niels. Niels.
Or Niels. I think it's Niels.
Let's go for Niels. This is from Niels Eek, EEK, so I'm so sorry if that's the wrong pronunciation. He's a psychologist and a founder of a mental health and personal development app. Oh, yes, please, everyone. Called Remente.
How's it spelled?
R-E-M-E-N-T-E.
R-E-M-E-N-T-E.
I asked him, how do you go about not lying face down on the floor of John Lewis when you try and go shopping? Because I have been there once on the 23rd. So firstly, it's obviously like, make a list, be clear about what you're going in there for, try and avoid distractions.
Don't just go in and have a little look around.
You're not here for a browse. No. This is madness. Go in, get what we're getting, get out of there. You know, like a war effort, like get your stuff. Do not panic. And so obviously it's like going to be, there's going to be a lot of people. It's going to be very intense. It's going to be tight and stressful space that can make you feel angry. That person checking their phone in the middle of the queue, or someone next to you bumps into you or steps on your foot without apologizing. Yes, all good examples, Niels. We use the SOAL principle, or SOAL, which is stop, observe, accept, and let go.
I thought you were saying, and lick.
And lick, or leave. Leave John Lewis. It's to help you stay calm, let go of any negativity during the shopping spree. Just like, keep it calm. Just like, yes, come on, and let go.
Yeah.
Just let go. That's just so good. Just remember to find some soul. It's unfortunate it's not a real soul with a U, because always on the U, you'll be like, what does the U stand for?
Uterus?
Uterus, L. No.
I'd add,
yes, please.
Go shopping online.
Yes.
And do it when you're like, just really make some hot chocolate. and don't drink before you do it. Don't do bursts of it at work when you're like, well, I'll just maybe find some socks for my dad. No, just spend an evening and devote the time to it like you would in the shops, but without the pain of the shops. That was my...
So obviously, guys, now is literally the time. We're at it.
We're so close now.
You've got to be doing it now. So just take
avoid the big shopping malls as well.
Don't go there. Neil says, one of the reasons that we feel stressed or overwhelmed during the holidays is we start doing everything at once, shopping for presents, planning a meal, booking tickets, all of which can be overwhelming. If you know you're prone to feeling overwhelmed, make sure you plan in advance, allocate days that you'll do the Christmas shopping, all online ideally, set aside time, everything. Once it's laid out in order, you're less likely to feel significantly less stressed. Mm. So it's that thing of being like, for God's sake, start now, everyone. So if you're listening to it,
also, if you have like, you know, when you buy something online and it emails you a confirmation that you bought it online, I start all of the things that are to do with presents so I don't forget that I've bought someone something.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Or I'd get yourself a nice to-do list online, on the internet, all options.
What about when you're making decisions? So say your parents are divorced and you don't know which parent to go to. Say there's just some sort of element of like, well, who do we go to for Christmas this year? For any reason. Does Niels have any opinions on that? Or does he just not give a shit?
He doesn't give a shit. No, he does. Niels says, say no.
to everyone.
Just say no to absolutely everyone. And we can feel super overstretched because there are so many places to be and we feel bad for saying no to things. And we lose out on sleep because we're so worried and makes us feel sad and grumpy and frustrated. You just have to say no, like just make a choice for yourself and be like, this is what I would like to do.
Yeah.
And
I've heard lots of stories of people who end up doing, you know, a tradition every year, going to the same mother. Like, so say if you're married and you've got, you know, your husband's or your wife's mother-in-law, you always go to them for Christmas. Yeah. And then it gets to like 20 years and they're still doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. And because now it'd be rude for them not
absolutely.
To. So never, it's actually a really good idea to like, I'm not saying in terms of like being married. I just mean like, so say if you've got a mum and a dad, you feel like you have to go to your mum's every Christmas. Yeah. But then your dad's on his own or you're not seeing your dad and you kind of want to, you probably should start now alternating.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Niels adds to outline the decision. If you're in the decision-making process, like who are we going to go to for Christmas this year? Literally write them down on a piece of paper and figure out exactly why you are making the decision in the first place. So
that's interesting.
Right. So rather than just being like, oh, who should I choose? It's like, why am I making this decision? Who's forced this decision?
Also, like, we lost this year my nana, who was just incredible. She was literally like a drawing of a nana, like curly hair, she looked like the queen, like it's just so cute. And anyway, she wasn't very well, and she had her last Christmas, and I saw her at Christmas, and then she died in January. And my mum obviously has lost her mum, and now she's lost both of her parents now. And so I don't know about Christmas. We've lost my nana, but I've never lost anyone in my immediate family. And so the thought of having to go through Christmas, maybe if I'd lost someone, is very hard. I don't know if Niels has any comments on that, because I feel like you basically have to accept that you're going to be upset. Mm-hmm. And if there's someone with you who has lost someone, like, I think they'll feel like they can't talk about it because it's like, be happy, it's fine, don't ruin it for everyone else. But I think you should maybe open it up so if they wanted to talk about it, they could. Or like, so I'm going to definitely mention Nana and like not shy away from talking about her because she was such a big part of Christmas and it's so sad that she's not here.
Stevie, you could be a professional therapist. It is, acknowledge those feelings and don't force yourself to act happy just because it's the holidays.
Oh, wow. I literally said that.
Oh, yeah. I guess I can give advice.
I suppose this is all about me and my ability to be really good at giving advice.
He says exactly that, which is acknowledge it. Don't have this pretend like, it's fine. It's absolutely fine.
Yeah, because it's not fine. It is sad.
It's not fine. It's sad.
It's
exactly.
It's really sad. But at the same time, like, they would genuinely want you to be happy. So it's that thing of, like, you are carrying on and you're, like, carrying on their tradition. And what's nice is that my mum learned to make roast dinner because of my nana's amazing roast dinner. So the roast dinner that we have will be, like, it's sort of like my nana's roast dinner.
Yeah.
Like, and you carry those, like, traditions on. And
absolutely.
Those people, it's like a magical time of year that those people are very much alive within us. But at the same time, they're not here. So it's hard.
At the same time, not. My great-grandma, who is super close to my mum's grandma, who she was very close to, used to get us absolutely bonkers things for Christmas.
That's the best part.
Yeah, which is like, yeah, right? And I really miss that. A
hedge cutter.
Thank you, Grandma. I do miss that. I miss, like, you know, because... What's Grandma done now? Because my auntie's very, you know, you get a message in like late September being like, what do you want? Yeah. And then you sort of have to pick something from Amazon and then that's that.
But you could have bought yourself now, but you've got to wait until December to get it.
Whereas like, there is something really magical about having just like an absolutely, couldn't even begin to fathom what the thing is.
Yeah, that's true.
And then when she died, she left a little bit of money to my mum. And then every year for maybe 10 years now, we've also had a present from great-grandma. So mum used that money and buys us something, you know, silly.
That's so fun.
And it's always called like mad presents from great-grandma. And they're just like little
That's
things.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, it's just nice...
My friend of mine hates Christmas because lost both parents, has brothers... They're all sad about Christmas. They all have a horrible time. The present aspect is the thing that's really hit because it's like, we don't want to get, like, our parents used to get presents. Or the present aspect, even as you get older, I can relate to that. Like, I feel a bit awkward asking my parents for loads of presents now. Yeah. It's like, I have a job. Like, it's fine. So actually coming up with like a fun, like doing Secret Santa.
Secret Santa.
In your
so you
own
have
house.
A lot of people in your, exactly, Secret
that's
Santa.
So much fun. Do that. Because then you've, like, I don't like the idea of like Facebook messaging my dad, I'd like these please, and then getting them in a bit. Like,
yeah, in a bit.
Weird. Like, and like, he does the same thing. He was like, I'd like some fingerless gloves. And we're like, okay, so we're just going to buy him fingers. Like, dad, if you're listening, and he does listen, we're buying you fingerless gloves.
And you know that.
Maybe also that maybe goes back to that keeping the magic, like find another way to keep the magic, get a proper present.
Have actual presents.
A gift
you have to make it, it had to be something you made yourself.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. So if you've got,
I'm going to make notes about this.
Yeah, like try to do something a bit different with your presents. That like 2 or 3 years ago, my sister wasn't there for Christmas. She had a job working abroad and she was working in Canada. And so it was just going to be me and my parents on, we used to have Christmas morning at home, open our stockings, and then we would drive up to North Wales at like 11 and be there for Christmas lunch with my grandma. And so the stockings was very much like, that was the big part of our dime. And I was like, I don't know if I can justify sitting on my parents' bed, opening a stocking without my sister as a 20-something-year-old adult.
Yeah.
So I was like, this is outrageous.
Kind of awkwardness,
this
like,
is mad. So then I'm
doing?
Just sat there being like, you know, because it used to be like, you just couldn't believe all the stuff that came from Santa. But like, you know, and then after a while, obviously it wasn't Santa anymore, but it was still so fun and it was nice. And my dad would sit at the end of the bed eating everyone's satsuma from the end of their stocking and all of this. And then I was like, I can't do that this year without my sister. And so I made my parents' stockings.
Oh, that's lovely.
And wasn't anywhere near as good at it as my mum was at making ours. Obviously, I hadn't had any practice.
Like,
cut a girl a break.
Yeah.
But I did, you know, they had little treats in them and they both got a onesie from Primark.
That's
and
amazing.
I made them a stocking and they went berserk. They loved
them.
And so,
I feel embarrassed that I haven't thought of that because I've felt for years like, we need to, I can't do this. Like, we need to change something. Oh, no.
Make them one.
My mum listens.
Margie, close your ears.
I'm not going to do it.
Wink. So maybe find like, and they don't have to be huge, outrageous,
expensive
stuff. Like find like cheap, fun ways of, you know, just
bringing. They'll be very expensive.
They'll be lovely gifts.
Quite cheap.
Mr. and Mrs. Martin. Just ways that you bring some magic back in or new traditions or new ideas that everyone's like, oh, fun, we can do this now.
Yes, because the traditions were put in place when you were 12. When you were born.
When you were born,
You're quite different now, I'd imagine.
We also read The Nightmare Before Christmas, but it's The
Night, night before, Christmas.
Before Christmas.
Oh, that's lovely. Yeah.
And again, like, Mum used to read it to us and then when I could read, it was very impressive the first time I did my solo reading.
Now, not so impressive.
Now it's like, we're just a group of adults reading this book. So we once tried to do random shout out. We know it so well. I wanted to like shout out a word and
that's
then like,
good,
you know. So just try and bring like new traditions to
shout
old
out
ones.
Word.
Shout out the words, guys.
Yes, I think also that's crucial in the terms of like, so people who are like, I don't like Christmas, I can't be bothered with this. Oh, it's just a pain in the ass. I think that helps. If you can bring something new to it, if you can think of a new way to do it, then that will solve that. Also, so I want to talk about family because we've talked about, you know, losing someone. But hey,
man.
I mean, I think me and you do get on with our family quite remarkably well, considering other stories I've heard of people and their families. However, sometimes you're there for a week, extended family get involved.
Yep.
They're great too. Maybe one of them's racist.
Guys, there will be some racism.
There might
at Christmas.
Be an uncle who's a bit creepy. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Because inherently they are from a...
Inherently uncles are creepy.
Your uncle's weird, okay? And they are from
if you're an uncle, I'm sorry you're weird.
I'm sorry, but you're weird. And we will all grow old and become uncles.
I'll
be weird.
And one day I hope to be two uncles.
I hope to be two uncles and I'll be just fucking weird, okay?
And like, I'll be an uncle.
The thing is, like, they're from a different time, they're from a different generation, they've lived a different life, and they have different opinions in the way that we absolutely will have them in 20 years' time. When we're uncles. And so you have to sort of, like, they inherently will be there. And mostly, those opinions will be racist.
They will. I found very helpful is if you have a friend who is also in a situation like that, which most, I think all will be, you can, you can test it out. You can just send, you can WhatsApp each other all day, awful things that your family are saying.
Yes, yes, yes.
If you've got not got a friend to share that with, write it all down on your phone, because in the future you will look back and go, ah, yes, that was the Christmas where grandma said she hates gays.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And you can be like, great, what a time we all had. When I tried to explain to her the union between a man and a man was fine. That wasn't something that happened. I got very upset. I didn't write it down. I didn't see the other side of it.
I told my granddad that I was going to a wedding of two men, and he said, well, that's not real, they're just pretending. And I went, oh heavens above, granddad. But then he said, they just marry each other so they don't have to drive in the car with them.
Oh, pointing, so much to unpack.
So he was making just a solid gold gag about how you need to
have women are naggy and annoying.
Bad drive. Oh, yes, I see now. Yeah. I was so thrilled that it wasn't homophobic that I forgot to realise.
It's misogyny.
Oh dear.
Oh dear.
Thank you.
Thank you. Great.
And we're ready.
I'd say as well, if there's a lot of if there's a lot of homophobia masking as misogyny happening, regular alone time breaks. Now, if you are going somewhere else for Christmas, that's a lot harder. You can maybe go to the loo for a long time. That's what I do. Or if there's a dog, walk it.
Oh, for God's sake, yeah.
For God's sake,
for God's sake, walk it.
Because people don't respond well to me consistently saying every half an hour that I need a nap. Like, people don't like that. But if you're...
Yeah, the nap will go unaccepted because there's stuff to do, actually.
There's things to do. You need to help out with the...
Because then when you return from the nap, somebody, your Auntie Kerry, will say, well, some...
Here she comes.
That's exactly the
because I've been told that. What do you think I do after Christmas dinner and before Christmas dinner and literally all day?
So you've got to at least give the illusion of help.
Yes, while napping.
While napping. But so, like, fine, it is not napping, but it could be walking, you know, find the walking dog. If there's no dog, take a child out.
If there's a very small child, say that you'll watch a Christmas film with them. Oh, you'd love the Muppets Christmas Carol, won't you, little child? Put the child down and take the child into the other room, put it on, you fall asleep. Fine, the child is watching. So then you can have a nap. Yeah. On your own, because you were looking after, you're basically operating a creche system.
It's not the very good stuff. It's not the most.
Why?
It's not gonna fly.
Why?
They're gonna see right through that.
Oh, I don't think so. I don't think so.
So try that one. If there's no small children, I sort of walks around, check the tree a lot or something.
If you're in your own house, then I often feel guilty for going upstairs and just having a quick face down, like 10 minutes, a phone alarm on, nap. Don't just do it, because otherwise you'll be a nicer person in the long run.
I'm just going to go get something.
The spreadsheets.
I'm just going to go get my new velvet. No, you can't say that because you've got to come down on it then.
Yes. I've got to send some emails?
No, because it's like you did personal things on your own time.
Oh, I think I've left my hair straighteners on.
That's not bad.
Yes. And then they're not going to remember that was a while back.
Or like...
you don't have hair straighteners.
I've brought Trivial Pursuit in my bag somewhere.
I'll have to have a rummage around for it.
I'll go and get that travel adapter you needed.
Yes, and then no one cares about
and
that.
And then make sure that you bang a lot of plates on the way out. Just
a bedroom when you have to travel.
Like when you're
leaving
the table, make sure you're quick to pick things. Obviously, just be helpful.
Yeah. But like, be helpful, but also have naps. I thought as well, what if, like, I've never done this. I don't think I could go to like your partner's family for Christmas, not your family.
Yeah.
I'd say, like, rather than be a shower person, take baths.
I honestly think you might, if you had your mother-in-law's, you might have to just suck it the hell up and be useful
and
all
have
day.
A bath in the evening.
No, and not have a bath.
Because then it's an hour and then you can just be in the bath.
I think if it's your mother's-in-law's, you can survive 24 hours and you just have to grit your teeth.
Get down in your mother-in-law.
Get down in your mother-in-law. For God's sake, just be helpful, be quiet, be listening.
We are thinking of you because that is really hard.
Yeah, you're doing so well. It's just one day.
But you can do it. I'd say just a regular supply of alcohol throughout the day. Not too much, not too little, I think.
Yes. Have a nice bit of booze. Just be super helpful if it's mother-in-law you're trying to impress people.
If
it's your own family and you don't have to be that. I mean, do be helpful, obviously, but like, you know. Keep it nice. And then I think the same things, we come back to the same idea of like, Be solution focused is a great one if everyone's like having a crisis about something again. And before everyone's like, well, you said not to put the sprouts in.
Is this from Niels?
Yes, it is from Niels, indeed.
And then be solution focused, that's good.
Yeah, so solution.
Why do you not like gay people, Grandma?
No.
This is what he says about...
So, he explains that like big arguments normally stem from small comments. And so they will largely be small, off-the-cuff, tiny comments.
Like, oh, parsnips are a bit hard.
Suddenly
you've called
it. Wow, why didn't you make them?
Yes.
Mum's
having a cigarette around the back.
Furious that you even suggested my fictional parsnips were a bit hard.
Imagine it. Oh, lovely. I like them hard. Oh, do you like them hard, love? Yeah. I love a lot of that.
I literally do, unless your comment is positive, do not say it.
No.
If you didn't.
Also, crucially, at dinner, always have crackers, put the hat on, tell each other jokes, do the toys, because that is such a great tension dispeller.
Yeah, yeah.
If you've like, there's been a bit of awkwardness and then, you know, suddenly you're so right. That is a woman's fan.
I've got these nail clippers and we're off.
We're off. And someone saw the stupid joke. Everyone's gone, oh, I saw the quote. And then someone always reads out the joke and it's not a joke, it's a fact.
Yeah.
And everyone just stares at them and waits for the punchline and there isn't one because it's a fact about whales. That you need that. That's why crackers exist. Do not go, never be too cool for crackers. Do not do it.
Yes. So there's been a row at the kitchen table. Once again, what are our things? Soul. Get your soul
out.
S-O-A-L. What does it stand for?
Sneeze.
No.
Oh, stop.
Stop. Just stop.
Observe.
Ah. A. It's not you. Remember, it's not your uterus. It's A for accept.
Accept.
Let it go.
Yes.
And then, he says that you should try, you know, if you know that like someone's going to kick off and someone's going to be cross about this or someone's going to say something. You be the diplomat.
Yes.
People can often say hurtful things without noticing. So if, you know, you're not the victim of it, you are seeing it across the table. Be like, apparently you haven't got a job anymore. I can think of one.
But like, apparently you haven't got a job anymore and you've put on weight. Oh, thanks.
Are you so fat because you haven't got a job?
And you've got no eggs left.
And my Niels says,
are you still doing your little blogs?
Yeah,
that's what
yeah,
I got
yeah.
for a long time. What? My journalism?
Yeah, so what you've done there
is
you've added fuel to the fire.
I have.
So instead, just try and put it out.
Oh, no, because that's because it's being directed at me.
I know.
If I saw someone else do that, I'd be like, hey, guys, maybe we should talk about how fat I am.
Great stuff.
Look at my ass.
Yeah, no, just look at me. Guys. And then just hit your ass.
Get your
like
ass out.
Like the Asda commercial. But his suggestions are try diplomatic responses, such as, thank you for your opinion. I'll think about it. Go on, give me another biting bar.
Okay. I just think immigrants should just leave.
What did you mean by that? Could you explain it a bit further?
No! What was the first one? Would the first one work? I think immigrants should come out of the country.
Thank you for your opinion. I'll think about it. Yeah, like you're the prime minister. Thank you for that.
I think the underlying message of what he's saying definitely works in terms of just using neutral, calming, non-emotional language to completely douse any sort of issues. Because I think, like, there's going to be something. The year before last, my auntie inadvertently told me I looked like a slut. I had a beautiful dress on that I'd been, like, saving up. I was like, I don't wear nice dresses. I always, like, wear, oh, I shouldn't wear. No, I will. And then she was like, well, that's a bit much, Stevie. And I was like, put it away. And I was like, ah, I have to put a coat on. And I was so angry for it. No, but actually, what I did was I went to my mum and said, "Mum, she said a lot like a slag." And then mum was like, "What? Oh, you need to get have like an ally and who can go, well, that's not okay. Oh, and have a bit of outrage on your part.
On your part.
That helps too. That,
great. So try and be the fire spotter, for the fireman. Other people's fires. Mm. And then make sure you've got a fireman ready for when it comes at
you.
On your shoulder. Your mum's in place ready to defend you from things.
Even if it's just quietly in the corner, it's nice to have someone on your side. No, grandma's wrong about all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's if it comes at you because you haven't got a job or whatever your thing is. And then if they do come out with their immigrant policy issues, what's like a good fact about Beyonce? What were you thinking I was going to say? You're really excited then.
No, I had a way of like dispelling it, which was that you go, well, that's interesting. Some people think that. And then you just stop talking and change the topic.
Oh, right.
Because
yeah, that's a good
one. They don't feel bad, but they have been shut down.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
they
yeah.
can't continue.
Oh, that's very interesting. Yeah, some people do think that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good stuff. I felt very powerful. My suggestion was just to pretend that they had made a controversial but understandable opinion about Beyonce's music.
Oh, well, what about that thing about how you don't believe that she was cheated on?
No, that's obviously outrageous. We're not talking about that at the Christmas table.
Okay.
Pick a song in Lemonade that you think is better than some of the others.
Freedom is a good song.
Oh, that is good, though. So, okay, there you go. So say that they've said...
I love you like I love you.
Yes, such a good song. Oh, she has no bad songs. No. So pretend that when they say all the immigrants should leave, that they've actually said, I think freedom is Beyonce's best work.
Okay,
and then you
give it to me.
What am I saying about the immigrants?
Yeah, but I'll think that you're saying, I think freedom is Beyonce's best work.
Well, there are too many of them. Borders going to collapse.
I think in this album, yes.
Yeah. So just remember, all they're doing is making a point about Beyonce, and you can be like, and so then you can really put your face into being like, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, okay.
And then that's the end of that.
I don't think you should say, I agree. No, I'm sorry. We'll have to come.
Okay, sorry. Yeah.
That's interesting.
But then you've practiced with your face because you... crucially, you will not be able to sway your nana round.
No.
On her immigration policy.
No.
Over the turnips. It's not
going to
happen.
Especially not Christmas. She's very set in her ways at Christmas.
She's so set in her ways. She couldn't be more set in her ways. Mm. And me and Grandma have come to blows.
You've had a fight with your grandma.
Well, she thought
I punched my grandma.
And then her and all my aunties, everybody thought that Thandie Newton was from China.
What?
So I was like, what? And then when I said, what? Guys, they were like... And then I was like, no, she's not. And then I, when I looked up exactly where she was from, and they were like, well, that's understandable. And I was like, oh my God.
No
one said, gosh, yeah, you're right. We were racist.
Any more Christmas gold?
Certainly. This is the final thing from the final wise man.
Oh, okay. You're like the Bear Grylls of Yuletide.
I am.
Yes, because you're giving us survival tips.
Oh, yes. Mm. That's good. Oh, this is the myrrh from the last wise man.
Okay. No one wants the myrrh.
No.
Frankenstein.
So sorry, everyone. Back to the Bear Grylls bit. That was good stuff. This is from a lady called Frida Harju Westman, who's a nutritionist at the Swedish-based health app Lifesum, which you can find online.
Oh, lovely.
The Swedes know what they're talking about.
I'd take nutrition advice from a Swede.
Absolutely. This one is about staying healthy and avoiding a hangover when you're partying every single night and just making sure you're in check because it's very easy to eat an entire chocolate orange for breakfast for the
whole
of December.
Which is fine,
absolutely
but not the
fine,
whole of December.
Which is very much my way.
My way.
My way, because they're everywhere, so pop them in.
Also Tessa's dating strategy.
Pop them in. If you can see it, pop it in. Yeah. But what do we know about men and clothes? If you can't name them, you can't put them on your body.
Yes.
Exactly. Obviously, it's the classics of like stay hydrated, marry your water bottle. No, marry, like pair your water with your eggnog. Not in the same glass. If you're having an eggnog, have a water.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, just like marry them.
Marry them. You know? Marry a water bottle at Christmas.
Yes.
Obviously, Frida's gone mad.
So Frida says, marry your water bottle. No, she says, make sure you stay hydrated. Yeah. That's the classic thing of like eating before a massive party. Like have something sensible, eat some vegetables for God's sake.
Well, there's a lot of after work parties.
Yes,
now.
Yes, yeah. That so, you go straight from your desk.
Yes,
and you're rushing.
If you're having a party, if you know that you're going out afterwards, bring like an extra packed lunch or bring a packed lunch that you can have at like 6:30 before you go to the pub. Otherwise, you're just going to be hammered and dehydrated and a mess, and you will be like that between. It's like the 15th to the 25th is an absolute nightmare. You're just consistently drunk.
Yeah, pre Christmas party, make sure you have some sensible snacking. Just for God's sake. Come on, people. A hangover, she suggests birch tree water improves the immune system as birch sap eliminates toxins that the liver usually processes.
Again.
Hello.
I'm on board, Frida.
Yes, please, Frida.
She's a Swede.
She's a Swede. She knows about birch water.
Okay.
And after a night of drinking, when you crave a fatty food, like a lovely hangover, eat an avocado, which does exactly what your body needs and will give you that
nice
same...
it is nice and fatty and creamy,
and does
it?
That fatty, creamy thing. And then ultimately, lovely from Frida, enjoy yourself. It doesn't matter so much what you're eating between Christmas and New Year. This is such a nice way of looking at it. It doesn't matter what you eat between Christmas and New Year. It's much more important to watch what you eat between New Year and Christmas.
Oh,
how lovely
great.
Is that?
Thanks,
so just
Frida.
Like abandon ship, whatever, and we'll start again in January. have a bloody lovely time. That's so, and what a nice way of looking at it.
Everyone always like says like, oh, how did, and you're like, no, I don't want to.
Just like, make sure you look after yourself a bit, get yourself your water in there so you're not, a completely collapsing mess.
Well, so you're not ill, like, you know, yeah, but so eat what you want.
Eat what you want. Have that chocolate orange, I guess, is what she's saying.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, do it. And my very final thing is that if you are by yourself on Christmas Day, or you're somewhere you don't want to be, or you're doing a bit of a different Christmas without somebody, Sarah Millican does this wonderful thing on Twitter called Join In.
I saw that.
Which is a hashtag, and it just means anyone who's by themselves has somebody always to join in with, and people just tweet.
I mean, it really works, because I was following it. I was just bored. I actually had a lot of people
during
one
of my naps.
during one of my naps. And it was really cool. Like, it's really fun, and everyone really gets involved in it. And I think it's a thing of, like, it is just a day.
Yeah.
It's just a day. You know, make it as nice as you can. Don't be hard on yourself if you are alone. Don't be hard on yourself if you're not having as nice a time as you'd hope this Christmas. You're not looking forward to it. It's fair enough to not look forward to it if you're in a hard situation. But be kind to yourself. Treat yourself. You know, if you like Baileys, buy some Baileys for yourself over the Christmas period. If you like, you know, if you want to eat a chocolate orange every day and you're going to have Christmas alone, bloody hell, have a chocolate orange.
Bloody hell,
find
mate.
Something within Christmas that you do like, that you do enjoy.
Yeah.
And just, like, try and have a just... It's just a silly holiday. Have a nice time.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be survival. It can be just lovely enjoyment. You can just find a way through it that you're loving it.
It's just a weekend.
Yeah, and you won't ever be alone because... Sarah's there with you.
Yeah. And also, tweet us on Christmas Day.
We'll have you. Steve, you'll be napping.
I'll be busy napping.
I'll be busy nodding along to Grandma's opinions on Beyonce. On Beyonce's back catalogue.
Tweet me at Stevie M. The S is a 5.
At Tessa Coates. Just absolute classic letters.
Have a lovely Christmas. And we'll be back shortly after Christmas to help you with what to do between Christmas and New Year, which is an absolute nightmare of a vortex.
Oh yeah, we're back on Boxing Day. Live. We're back on Boxing Day and we're doing one about the Christmas perineum, about things to do.
Yeah, she's just calling it the Christmas perineum.
That's the bit between your balls and your bum.
Also, I think it's perineum.
Is it?
Yeah, either way, she just started talking about it, and it's like it was a thing, and I don't think people call it that, but I'm very interested.
Anyway, we'll see you on Boxing Day.
See you on Boxing
Day, guys. Have an amazing Christmas. Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas. Bye.